coming up.
There's so much to unpick there, Sam.
That's brilliant. I love a growl.
I've heard your mad people in your head.
You can hear the people talking to me in my head.
Who knows?
It's Mark and Sam on How Do You Say That?
What I did notice is it has an incredibly long first sentence.
Can you just read it? That's what the client wants.
Of course, one of them is right and one of them is wrong, but that's not really the point.
So I don't get the dazzle.
All right, I'll get back in my box.
Are you trying to say it's not very well written? Is that what you're trying to say?
Where would you like me to start?
Choices, choices, choices.
I'm going to follow that until I'm told otherwise.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Here's my co-host, Samantha Boffin.
Hello.
Hello.
And here's my co-host, Mark Rice.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, this podcast celebrates voice acting and reminds us that there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways.
And we do that by inviting a special guest onto the show every week. And we bring a script and they bring a script and we all get to give them both a read.
But before we do that, we play true or false. So, Sam, when I'm driving, and I'm doing quite a lot of nighttime driving at the moment, I have got a pair of those yellow sunglasses that show up the night things so I can see properly at night time. True or false?
I really want you to have a pair of those. So I'm going to say yes, please. Please be that thing.
It is true. Yes.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Exactly. So I don't get the dazzle at night time.
No, the dazzle. I just thought you'd like the dazzle.
Oh no,
Mark.
Not at night time in driving. No. Oh no.
Okay, so Mark, I don't wear socks very much.
Oh.
But when I do, they're always odd. Is that true or is that false?
Oh, do you know what? I know three other people who do wear odd socks all the time. So I'm going to say, yes, you're an odd sock wearer. Yes, I think.
No, not really. I mean, I do if I can't find another pair, but ordinarily I try and make them match.
Wow,
like
there we go.
A sad, sad person.
Heavens. Well, let's welcome our special guest for this week, shall we? Voice actor Gina Malott. Hello, Gina.
Hello. Thanks for having me here.
I've been trying to get you on this show for so long and finally we've got you.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Gina, shall we?
Yes, from TV ads to in-store and big award ceremonies, as well as ITV1 continuity and radio station imaging around the world, you will absolutely know Gina Malott's voice, and she's been in demand for over 20 years. She's based in Somerset, and I might add, she hates bigging herself up, which is why we've written this little bio.
Indeed, yes. Gina worked in TV production at MTV before The Call of the Mic, and the list of clients she's worked for reads as a who's who of companies that we all like to work for, frankly. She's also been the voice of the BAFTAs, both film and TV, so she is no stranger to red carpet events. She's also dabbled at singing in bands, including one at college called The Bitchin' Blues. So, Gina, do you have a fun fact for us, please?
Okay, yeah, my fun fact is that I used to live in Denmark when I was about 8, 9, 10 years old, and I was fluent in Danish and loved it, loved the country. And yes, I was fluent. I wasn't sort of bilingual, but I was fluent and loved it. But now, unfortunately, over the years, I've lost it. So I haven't got that language anymore, but I'm sort of familiar with.
But if you went back, do you think it would kind of come back? Have you been back since?
Yeah, I've been back a few times, and I have some lovely friends, Danish friends and Scandinavian friends. So I think, well, I can only count to 20, and I sort of can understand the hello, how are you sort of thing, but not.
Okay.
You know, not, it's really weird because normally at that age you're a bit of a sponge, but I don't know. Maybe I just didn't keep it in.
So can you say 1, 2, 3 in Danish?
I can.
Go on then.
1, 2, 3.
It's an intro to the first script of the show on How Do You Say That?
How do you say that?
This is a little script I've brought along. It's a corporate. Well, kind of a corporate. Kind of a corporate explainer.
All about teachers and how hard they work, by the look of it.
Yes.
And is it for teachers? Is the audience teachers?
Yes. A solution for teachers, a data, well, sort of AI solution, I suppose, really, for teachers to support them in teaching.
What I did notice is it has an incredibly long first sentence.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Nobody understands the punctuation in that whatsoever when they wrote it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It was a teacher that wrote it, I might add. It's actually an advert, if you like, or an advertorial, should I say, to sort of sell in the concept of this to head teachers. And the idea is, I suppose, that you explain it to head teachers, they use the same information to cascade it down, and you try and get a buy-in to get this kind of support.
So that Versa
in
is in all the schools?
Yes, exactly
right.
So. Exactly so.
Okay.
It's an Australian product that they're trying to use now in Britain.
But we don't have to do it.
Do we do it in Australia?
Oh, no, no. It wasn't meant to be Australian. But what I mean is that there's a friendliness to this company.
Yeah.
Oh. If you see what I mean.
So it's
a bit more cash.
Yes.
A bit cash.
Cash. Ah,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Gina, I'll go first.
Okay.
And then you can have a go. And then Sam can show us what she did with it.
Okay.
I'm just scared that that sentence is so long. I looked at it earlier and thought, normally I would mark that up with lots of different pencil. So let's see if I can make any sense of it whatsoever. Ask yourself how much time it requires for a teacher to create tests designed to assess the understanding of concepts. Mark each one individually, identify what concepts have not been understood, and then collate them into groups or levels of understanding. And then, does the teacher have the time to prepare lessons or revise earlier lessons? With Versa, all of this happens automatically, and it's presented through an intuitive data visualization so that tired teachers don't need to wade through the data.
Oh my God, it's so crazy how different people will read things to how you have in your own head. I just
thought
that's incredible.
So, yeah.
I think that was a bit fast, though.
No, I don't think so at all.
Oh.
Well, I don't know, actually. I mean, I suppose now you think about it, in terms of landing all of those individual pieces of information, perhaps, maybe. But it didn't feel that you were going at a great lick with it, though.
Oh, that's interesting, because as I was doing it, it felt like a great lick. So maybe that's just one of those perception things.
Well, it sounded like you were sort of you were presenting this to teachers. Like that was, it was really casual. It was really nice. And you got some words that came out and, you know, it was lovely.
Well, I think
it's
your
so
word cash, as we were talking about it beforehand, absolutely went into my brain.
I thought, absolutely.
That's the way to do it, I think.
I think what it did underline was how incredibly complex the information. I mean, the individual words aren't complex, don't get me wrong. But all of the pieces of information that they're trying to land are not brilliantly written.
Are you trying to say it's not very well written? Is that what you're trying to say?
It's okay, Sam, you can say that.
They will never listen to this. So, yes, I can say that. But,
It's not the best piece of copy I've ever had to say out loud.
No.
I mean, it's not the worst by a long way.
It comes right in the middle of it all, actually, this, now I come to think of it. Yeah.
So how much have you done prior to this 65 pages? Or
No. The whole thing, I think, was about 5 minutes long, and this comes probably about, I don't know, not very far into it, but it's certainly not the opening.
Was it casual enough, do you think?
I think it was very casual and possibly bordering too casual, if that's not rude.
Okay. No, but, not at all.
Only because of what I had in my head for how I'm going to read it, which would be a bit more, I don't know, perhaps a bit more corporate and not having known the full script sort of thing. But
It
was nicely casual. It was,
you
know, especially your question, because I have a real problem with questions. The question was really
questions.
It was a real question.
Questions are tough. Yes, especially when they're not real questions. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And we come across that in copy so often. When is a question not a question?
And it's really interesting because I've been, you know, with questions and you think in your head, right, I've done that as a question, and the client says, could that be more of a question? And then I start sort of going really up in my senses. Earlier lessons and like rising my bum
exactly
off the seat.
Right.
Like, what? Is that how I do it?
It gradually gets more and more. So they're just like four words that are just raising to a crescendo. Oh, my word. Well, now that that's in your head, Gina, I want to hear how you do it.
Oh, God. Well, look, now I'm going to be like really cash. It's all got the Aussie in my head.
Let's see.
Ask yourself how much time it requires for a teacher to create tests designed to assess the understanding of concepts. Mark each one individually, identify what concepts have not been understood, and then collate them into groups or levels of understanding. And then, does the teacher have the time to prepare lessons or revise earlier lessons? With Versa, all of this happens automatically. And it's presented through an intuitive data visualization so that tired teachers don't need to wade through the data.
Oh, that was so clear.
It really was.
It was less cash than I thought you were going to go after you said you were going to go more cash. When you said right at the beginning, I think it's probably more corporate than what I did. And I think that's what you did. I think you brought a more corporate feel to it. But you've got to bear in mind, they're selling a product. So I think that would probably sell more than what I did.
And also, you've got to understand what the product is.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? And by breaking it up in the way that you broke it up, and by putting the emphasis and the rhythm in that you put into it, I thought it was so crystal clear what that script was doing then. Yeah,
it's so funny how when you read words and what immediately comes into your head. And so I'm fascinated that Mark, you went that way, and I automatically went this way.
Yeah,
and can't wait for Sam.
You stuck to the punctuation quite rigidly.
Yeah, I'm quite like that. I kind of think, well, if that's how it's written, I'm going to follow that until I'm told otherwise, and then we can.
Even
start
we've already said that it's not a terribly well written piece of copy.
Yeah, I'll go in first with what they have
done,
and then they can either hear that all that doesn't work, of course, let's do it again.
And actually, that's not a bad rule of thumb.
No, it's not.
You know, until told otherwise, yes. Give them what they've given you. Yeah. Absolutely.
So basically, what we're saying is, even if it's crap, give them the crap until they realise it's crap.
Show them, let them hear.
That's dangerous, though, isn't it? It's dangerous because they might go, "Yeah, lovely."
Oh yeah, they'll be like, "That is brilliant."
No, but then I don't want that to live out online forever.
Oh, no. Yes. Then I'd be like, do you know what? I'd love to do it a couple more times. And then I go,
yeah, exactly.
Just you wait.
I imagine, Sam, that you're going to be somewhere in between the two, not a million miles away from either of them, but somewhere between the two, I think.
I think probably, yes. Maybe. Well, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
You will definitely see.
Almost right
what
now.
What I did. Yes, absolutely. I'll go in for it right now. Okay.
Ask yourself how much time it requires for a teacher to create tests designed to assess the understanding of concepts. Mark each one individually. Identify what concepts have not been understood and then collate them into groups or levels of understanding. And then, does the teacher have the time to prepare lessons or revise earlier lessons? With Versa, all of this happens automatically, and it's presented through an intuitive data visualization so that tired teachers don't need to wade through the data.
Oh, the little laugh.
Oh, I love the laugh.
Yes.
And really so different again. It's just brilliant. Mm. I just wouldn't have gone there. I just would not have gone there like that. This is fabulous. This is so fascinating.
It is fascinating. Absolutely.
I'll tell you what came out for me was, does the teacher have time to prepare the lessons? I think that question, as opposed to revise earlier lessons, but that first question was really posed in the way that I don't think either Gina or I did.
No. Mm. And actually, it was a really lovely, casual question. Wasn't it? It was just like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, put this boom in your face. This is really...
Exactly.
It's really nice. It was just
almost so that the head teacher, it percolates into their brain.
Yes.
It's
like a teacher does.
Yes. Like a teacher does. Yes, exactly.
This
like a teacher
concept
does.
Out there.
Or a smiling assassin kind of way.
Exactly.
Play How Do You Say That?
Well, it is worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we're working on, but we have changed some names and details to avoid copyright issues. Remember, you can find both the scripts that we're using today in the show notes of the episode.
Yes, you can. So, Gina, tell us a little bit about your script. Very different, very different.
Yeah, this is a good one. So it's, a client abroad, and I do TV promos for them a fair bit. Mm-hmm. And often, you know, booked for my normal sort of promo-y voice. Occasionally some characterful stuff comes in, and this, I loved working on this because I was asked to be a sort of a nosy, posh, old biddy neighbour, twitchy curtains type of sort of person. The first loads of takes I did, she said I was slightly too witch-like. I'm quite good at a Halloween witch, and I slightly went into the sort of the... and then she sort of came back, like, right, okay, I want you to you know, more tongue-in-cheek, and then, you know, try some, like, older lady, more posh old biddy, sort of, like, more mean-spirited than sort of jolly in a way. But I kind of went, I sort of landed in the middle, really. And someone who loves to gossip, she said, spy on the neighbours.
Someone who loves to gossip.
Wow.
I do have a technical question, if that's okay. And it bothers me whenever I do promos.
Mm-hmm.
When it says on the script, starts Friday, August 29, is it Friday, August the 29th? Or how is that generally said?
It's the region I'm doing this for. Australia, New Zealand, they say 29 rather than but Asia say 29th. And we say 29th. That's how I'm told.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Well, in British promos, it's simply to do with timing.
It can be anything. Yep. It can be like if they need to shave off a bit, then they're like, just say August 29.
Take out everything.
And does it stay in the posh gossipy neighbour when you're actually doing the title of the show and the date?
Yeah, I asked her this and she sort of said, oh, you can come out of it a bit, but actually I kept it. I just stayed on. Okay. I stayed in.
I think if you've established a character,
unless it's
a voice change entirely, like a different voiceover. Mm-hmm. I think
I don't think I'd sound hugely far away from it anyway. Maybe I am just a gossipy old biddy.
Lovely.
I'm very excited for your gossipy old biddy, Gina, but I'm absolutely beside myself waiting for
Sam is going to smash this.
No, I don't think I am, because I was thinking Miss Marple.
Yeah, I think it is that. It is that.
And, do you think?
Yes, absolutely.
I was thinking not as cosy as Miss Marple.
Maybe it's the Julia McKenzie Miss Marple.
Right.
Okay.
In picturesque towns with cosy gardens, murder is afoot. Who is hiding? Who is scheming? Who's having tea and spilling the beans? Who hates who? And who is next? Who's up for a first-class weekend of second-guessing? Who done it? Starts Friday, August 29.
I love that.
I mean, that's literally basically. I'll go home, I think, because I think that's exactly sound like me.
From the very first line, I thought, oh no, I've got this character. I know exactly who's talking to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You were just like,
and in a promo, surely that's what you need, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
It didn't come out the way I was expecting it to.
Did it not?
But do you know what I really enjoyed saying? Murder is afoot. I mean, who doesn't want to say murder is afoot?
Well, quite.
In a trail.
It's brilliant.
Indeed.
And the picture on the promo was a foot going upstairs.
Oh, lovely.
Of course it was.
Lovely. Of course it was.
Of course it was.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have a go, but obviously I'm not going to be monstrous old biddy, but I might be monstrous old man.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's okay. I do have a picture of an old wizened...
Wizened.
Finish the sentence, for God's sake.
I do have a picture of an old, maybe wizened Sherlock Holmes, perhaps. But that's only because murder is afoot is in the script, so I don't know if that's leading me up a garden path that I don't want to go down.
Well, this can definitely be an old man. Of course it can, or a young man, whatever. It can be like, you know.
Well, let's try. But upmarket, posh. Posh is kind of... Okay. Right, let's see. In picturesque towns with cosy gardens, murder is afoot. Who is hiding? Who is scheming? Who's having tea and spilling the beans? Who hates who? And who is next? Who's up for a first-class weekend of second-guessing? Who done it? Starts Friday, August 29.
Oh, that's brilliant. Ooh. Very different to how I thought you'd do, actually.
Yes, no, yeah.
I don't think it was quite how I expected it to come out. I can't decide whether it was better or worse than I was expecting.
No, it was very matter of fact. It was very like, it's so different again. I just so love the fact that everyone can do things so differently and have so much in their heads that, it's brilliant.
As soon as I said Sherlock Holmes out loud, it kind of dissipated away. It kind of went, gone.
No, I think you could have played with who done it a bit more.
Yes, I agree.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you could have had more fun with it at times.
Yes, you're right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've heard your mad people in your head. and they're
you can hear the people talking to me in my head.
The people talking to you.
Oh my god.
Having said that, it was all, you know, all beautifully done, and what you posed all those questions in beautifully different ways. There was a lovely build, all that kind of thing.
Well, Gina, you are very well known to the audience for doing promos. So nothing you're going to do here is going to be a massive surprise, I think.
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
But I wonder if I'm going to be wrong.
Well, probably will be because I'm not really known for being in character, I think, maybe.
But this is
maybe.
It. This is the exciting thing.
This is exciting.
It's
exciting for us.
In picturesque towns with cosy gardens, murder is afoot. Who is hiding? Who is scheming? Who's having tea and spilling the beans? Who hates who? And who is next? Who's up for a first-class weekend of second-guessing? Who done it? Starts Friday, August 29.
Oh, I love it.
Completely different.
I
absolutely
love it.
The character was so well-rounded, it was completely different to you, and that was not what I was expecting
so
you to do at
exciting.
All.
So exciting. That was a real Cluedo read, I thought. That
yes,
was read,
it
that
was.
Had a real, yeah. And I would imagine for something like this, which is right up my street, I would imagine yeah. absolutely right for this kind of thing. I want to watch Who Done It now. You know,
yes,
I want to
exactly watch the Who
Done It class weekend of second guessing.
see if it's as good as we've been making out.
Yeah. I think yeah, I did it originally a bit softer. It's really funny. I think I did it softer in the original, or she used a softer
ooh.
Take.
Yeah,
a bit sort of yeah, a bit more inquisitive rather than just ew.
God. Oh, I see. Literally curtain twitching.
Yes, literally. Like, oh, yeah. Lord, who is
who's
that?
Hiding?
No, who's
interesting.
Scheming?
Yeah. What I noticed in the two scripts is they couldn't be more diametrically opposed, both in style, but also in subject matter.
Yes, completely. Yes.
Absolutely.
Which is so great. My God.
But the joyous thing is we have the wildcard section now.
Hooray!
And so we get to approach these scripts in a very different way. So, Gina, you get to just relax for a moment,
yep.
but we'd like you to come up with an idea for either Sam or myself to do.
Okay, Sam, I would love you to be a beautiful flower sensing the sun is coming out, ooh. Bursting into bloom.
Oh, ooh. Nice.
So, well, lovely. Which fabulous yeah,
which
little scripture we have?
Would you like her to do?
Okay, I think yours.
Okay. Oh,
script
that is
one.
The more difficult one, I think. But
yes,
okay.
But no, we'll go for that. Okay, so I am a beautiful little flower. And I'm going to come into bloom. Okay, right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Ask yourself how much time it requires for a teacher to create tests. Oh, designed to assess the understanding of concepts and mark each one individually. Oh, identify what concepts have not been understood and then collate them into groups or levels of understanding, and then does the teacher have the time to prepare the lessons or revise earlier lessons? Oh, with Versa, all of this happens automatically. And it's presented through an intuitive data visualization so the tired teachers don't need to wait for the data.
I love it. It's like, wow.
Oh my God.
There's so much to unpick there, Sam.
I was literally like rising up in my chair and just going
totally.
With you.
Totally. I mean, we could feel the blue. What? Why the kind of little girl lisp?
No idea. No idea. I just
I didn't love that lisp.
Really think about it.
I'm going to think of a blooming flower with a lisp.
It was like my brain was like, oh wow, that's like as far away from what I was expecting as possible. It was just lovely. I love
oh my
I
God, thinking. That was just divine. I was literally lifting up from my chair, rising with you.
Okay. Right, Gina, now's the time, the squeaky bum bit. Okay. It's like, now here's one for you. But I'm going to be nice to you because I know you do a lot of Voice of God jobs. And I just thought, let's take that promo script and hear you do it as Voice of God. So your script as your Voice of God. So big, could be a big conference, could be a big award ceremony. I don't mind, but I want to hear the Voice of God coming out.
Okay. Brilliant. I do love a Voice of God. So thank you for allowing me to do that. But in this promo, gosh, good luck, everybody.
Right, yes.
Quick question. Can I say ladies and gentlemen at the beginning? Or
of course
do I have
you can.
To just
yes,
follow
you can work around the script as much as you want. Yep, yep.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, in picturesque towns with cozy gardens, murder is afoot. Who is hiding? Who is scheming? Who's having tea and spilling the beans? Who hates who? And who is next? Who's up for a first-class weekend of second-guessing? Who done it? Starts Friday, August 29.
And the audience is rapturous. Lovely.
Oh, do you know what? Fabulous. Fabulous.
I loved that. I also, do you know what I loved is that Voice of God goes a lot more manic almost than that, but of course it doesn't. It's only in your kind of mind you think it's going to. It kind of does this sort of crescendo
thing. Well, it
does
depend on what what the script is. But no, I've always, I try and really, I just, use the
absolutely.
The
boom. It felt grounded and it had a real kind of drama to it. I loved that.
And do you know what? Even though obviously there was no ladies and gentlemen in the script, I have to say whenever I'm doing Vogs, I just adore starting everything off with a ladies and gentlemen. It gets you in that zone.
100%.
You get into the way you want and
can't
bang,
agree more.
You can go. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. Very much.
Okay, Mark.
Yes.
I want you to do...
I mean, how am I going to follow that for a start?
Well, exactly. How are you going to follow that? I'm going to stick with that script.
Okay.
And I want you to be... an overly confident expert in absolutely everything.
So basically what I do on telly.
Yes. I want you to be you on steroids, what you normally do.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I think I've got an idea of a character in my head.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're doing a character and not just...
It's not going to be a straight read, no.
Yes.
Okay. Righto, in picturesque towns with cosy gardens, you'll find murder is afoot. Who's hiding? Who's scheming? Who's having tea and spilling the beans? Who hates who? And who is next? Who's up for a first-class weekend of second-guessing? Who done it? Starts Friday, August 29.
I love this. That I thought you were Jeremy Vine. Who's hiding? Who's scheming? You sounded like Jeremy Vine. That was brilliant.
I also don't know where the growl came from. It's like that wasn't part of the plan.
That was brilliant. I love a growl.
That was
yes.
Oh my
isn't it
God.
Funny? These promos.
Just goes to show you can do it in many, many different ways.
Oh, I know.
Well, I think, do you know, weirdly, with that particular script, almost everything worked.
I think it did work.
It does. It's weird, isn't
so
it?
So fun.
I love that. Who's having tea and spilling the beans?
Yes. Well, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth in whatever style you want, as we've said before, we've put the scripts in the show notes. You can have a try yourself.
Yes, you can. So, Gina, radio imaging. This radio imaging terrifies the bejesus out of me. So,
why does it? What is it that?
Well, I think it's because I always assume that what people are going to want you to do is something that's slightly over the top, and I worry that I'm going to get kind of screechy and OTT.
Oh, interesting.
That's what worries
me. Yeah, because, I mean, there are some, it depends on the radio station and the music style, I suppose, of that station. But no, you don't need to be, you could be completely you, because your voice would definitely work on radio imaging because of
But I'm thinking the question that we really need to know is how much has it changed? What are what are people asking for these days? Has it changed? Is it different from years ago?
Yeah, so is it still a classic big voice or is it more conversational?
For me... it really hasn't. The jobs that I'm asked to do, and I've been asked, you know, for the last 20 years, I've been asked to do radio imaging here and abroad, and it really for me hasn't changed. It's that sort of quite down here in my voice, sort of the sort of inverted commas cool, you know, husky sort of delivery. I remember a couple of jobs I've done for radio stations in Australia. They're much more, you know. Yeah, you know, you're flaming galah, let's have a laugh. And so I'm asked to do it, you know, a little bit more, some lines a bit more comedic and throwaway. Not so much conversation. I've never been asked to do conversational. It may be the case for other people, but for me, I feel that the radio imaging hasn't really changed. And actually, I mean, people probably go, what, Gina? But actually, I feel that we're sort of slightly going back to the old school in a way.
Oh,
yeah.
I think radio imaging is pretty much the same, unless it's quite nuanced. Like on Greatest Hits Radio, Dawn French, she's quite sort of, conversational throwaway use of
it. And they went to a very different place with it, didn't they? And it works really well.
Yeah, and it does work well.
We had Rick on, who is the male voice to Dawn's female voice.
Yeah, and I'm the female voice to them.
Of course, course you are, yes.
I'm the S&P, you know, branded voice. So it's those two, and then I come in with
I bet the three of you are never in a studio together, though, are you?
Oh, never. I mean, I'd love to be like,
that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
wouldn't
that
be amazing?
Doing a live session together, that would be great.
Yeah.
That knowledge of knowing what imaging is, how it works, how, you know, you need to understand your radio to be able to go out there as an imaging voice, because if you don't, you don't understand the differences from, you know, channel to channel, or even from, you know, the types of things that people are looking for with radio imaging, you're going to be a bit lost. It's not, you know, you need to know your area, as it were.
Absolutely. And but it's, you know, radio producers or imaging producers, they know exactly what they want, I find, more perhaps more so than anyone else. I'm sure you do too. I really do. And so in a way, it's quite easy. They just want, you know, we want hot, go in hot, or, you know, go in hot for breakfast, be a bit more jovial for, you know, the afternoon, come down a bit on drive, and, you know, and Sunday be sexy. I've been really flattered before. You know, there's a couple of producers that have just said, you know what, Gina, you know, you lift the words off the page,
do your thing,
in exactly the way, without needing a huge amount of direction. So what I take from that is that is just my niche. That is the niche that works for me, and it has kept me in that line of work. You know, does what it says on the tin type thing.
Sure.
You know. I do. I think the gold is being able to find the niche that one does, you know, without getting too... That doesn't mean that you have to be stuck in it, or that that's the only thing you can do.
No.
Yeah.
But there are areas that feel more you.
Yeah.
And I think they're really good to mine those areas, because...
Yeah. Well, if that can become the bread and butter of your work, exactly.
Well, this is what I was going to say. You know, I haven't really veered off track all my career or been asked to. I found that niche way back when, and I went with it, or I was booked again for these jobs and that job, you know. And when I have veered off, it has scared me. It's worked or it hasn't worked, you know, but it has kept me, and it's been my bread and butter in a way.
Can I give you a quick test? Can you do "It's Sam and Mark on How Do You Say That" and you're in your best imaging?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to pay you for it.
Oh, that'll be £250, please.
I thought I might have got away with that.
It's Sam and Mark. It's Mark and Sam on How Do You Say That?
That's the mark of a true professional, isn't look at that. To be able to do that and flip it around. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well, all of Gina Malott's details can be found in the show notes. Go and have a listen to her reels. Gina, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Oh, I've loved it. Thank you.
I know you were terrified
so
of coming on.
I was terrified. I've got red cheeks. Oh. I'm so warm. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very flattered and honoured to be on it. So thank you.
It was just a joy. Thank you so much. And of course, you can find all the scripts that we use today if you'd like to practice them in the show notes.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Gina Malott. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest, when we'll be asking, and this is where we do the title of the show altogether.
Okay.
We'll be back with more scripts and another voiceover guest, when we'll be asking,
How do you say that? How do you say that?